Swami Ishwaranand Ji was here last week. Very beautiful discourses we heard, very practical. And one of the points he made, which I think hit me very strongly, is you should open like a flower and the bee will come. See, a flower does not go out searching for a bee. Where is my bee? Where is my bee? The flower just opens, makes herself ready, and spreads her fragrance, and the bee comes searching and to pollinate the flower so the flower can become a fruit. So similarly, we always wonder, you know, where is the guru? How can I find a guru? Who will come and guide me? I'm lost, so on. So our scriptures say you do not need to go searching for a guru. Do not go from place to place. Okay, is this my guru? Is that my guru? Is this good? Is this bad? We are comparing, you know, asking questions. Just make yourself ready. How do we make ourselves ready? Open up. That is, open up your mind. That's why Kabir Das Ji says, man ki aankhe khol, Baba. Man ki aankhe khol. Open the eyes of your mind and make yourself receptive. See, we are very closed, you know, when somebody is trying, who is this guy trying to tell me anything? We have to make ourselves open, make ourselves receptive, and make ourselves ready. Not only the mind, but also we have to get our activities purified. We have to do more service, do more charity, be more loving in our relationships with our family, our spouse, our children, our co-workers, and make our life pure. And with that, your mind becomes pure. As your activities become pure, your mind slowly gets cleaned of all the negativities, anger, greed, jealousy, and your mind gets filled with positive qualities like love, compassion, kindness. So a person who has devoted his body to serving, his mind to loving everybody, and his intellect to knowing, it does not mean that I have to wait for the guru to come and teach me. I have to start studying whatever books we have, like the Bhagavad Gita we all have now. So daily reading of the Bhagavad Gita, not only coming on Sunday, that is good if you come on Sunday, but throughout the day, week, 7 days a week, I should open the book and read. Just start from first chapter and keep reading up to the 18th chapter. If you read 2 verses a day at night before you go to bed and think about them the next day, in 1 year, you will read the entire Bhagavad Gita because it has 700 verses. So just resolve, okay, before I go to sleep, I'm going to read 2 verses at night. And then think about those. Read not only the verse, but read Gurudev's commentary. And if something is not clear, because sometimes Gurudev's language is a little difficult, you're welcome to bring the questions here, even if it is not related to the verse. If something you don't understand, we'll try our best, you know, to answer it. So that's what Arjuna did. He made himself open like a flower. See, Arjuna and Krishna had been friends since childhood, and they grew up together, and they played together, and they went through all adversities. But Krishna never said, okay, Arjuna, come on, sit down. I need to teach you this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. It's very important for you. Krishna had this knowledge, but he waited till Arjuna was ready. Arjuna said, I am despondent. I do not know what to do. And I do not know what is my duty. And shishyasteham shadi mam tvam prapannam. I have now prostrated to you, Krishna. I need your guidance. I need your advice. Please tell me what I should do. Ke shreyos, what is the shreyas for me? And that's when Arjuna, when he prostrated to the Lord, surrendered to the Lord and said, I need the advice. That's when Krishna finally gave this knowledge. And interestingly, even though Arjuna's question was very basic, you know, why should we fight? How much damage is going to happen in the war? What problems? Krishna felt that just, he could have easily answered that question in 5 minutes, but he felt that Arjuna needed more serious advice to clear his whole ignorance. Just to solve that particular problem would have been easy, okay, to tell him what. But he wanted to clear his mind and give him the highest knowledge and at the same time teach him all the aspects of living. Not only what is my duty, but how I should love God, how I should know God. So the Bhagavad Gita in 18 chapters covers all these topics. What should be my behavior in this world? how should I deal with people, what is my duty as an individual, as a householder, what is my duty as a spiritual seeker. So all those things were taught by Sri Krishna to the student. And so what we have studied in the past couple of weeks in the verse number 12, 13 and 14, that Krishna gives us the highest knowledge in the 11, 12 and 13, that whoever is born will die. So grief is not worthy of you, because you have to accept that death is inevitable. And death is inevitable only for the body. But all of us have the spirit, the consciousness, God's presence with us, which is our higher nature. So they say there are two natures. The lower nature is the body, mind and intellect, which I think myself to be. I am Anil, or I am Kheri, or I am Arun, and I am a male or female, and I am young or old. That is all my lower nature, and that is what we think is, and that's how we deal with the world. But if you know your nature to be the spirit, then none of us ever dies. And that's what Krishna tells him. And he also tells him that even though the body perishes, the consciousness lives forever. It's the mind and intellect, the jiva, the individuality, which goes from birth to birth, seeking new body. So there is no death. There is nothing to fear about. We talked in detail the last 2 weeks, so I won't go into that. But then Arjuna asks another question. He says, Lord, it's okay, I don't die, I am the spirit, I'll take another birth and I will continue my journey. But how about in this life? I have so many problems, we have so many sorrows. And Arjuna was sitting there crying, tears going down his cheeks, his body shivering, his hands shaking, his bow is on the ground, he can't even stand. And not only that, he said, look, in the world, there are so many problems. People have physical problems. You know, somebody has bad health. Somebody can't walk. Somebody has emotional problems. So much stress, so many problems. Somebody has intellectual problems. She doesn't know what is my duty, what am I supposed to do. So these dukkha, these sorrows, how am I to handle? And can you tell us how the rest of us can handle? See, Arjuna, by asking this question, is asking for every one of us. Because we all have problems. We all have sorrows at some time or the other. So how to handle that we'll do in the two verses today. This is a very beautiful verse, very practical, which will tell us the life's problems which come to everybody, including the highest problem, which is death. That also can come. How do we handle that? So we'll do verse number 14 and then 15. So chapter 2, verse number 14. Matra sparshastu kaunteya.
Matra sparshastu kaunteya.
Shitoshna sukha dukha daha.
Shitoshna sukha dukha daha.
Agama payino nityaha. Tanstitikshasva bharata. So matra means sense organs, and we'll talk about the etymology, where this word originated from. So matra sparsha. So sparsha means contact. So the sense organs, they contact. What do they contact? Sparsha, gandha, shabda, rupa, rasa. So these are the five things we contact. So that means my eyes contact the sights. I see everything. I see all of you. I see the time. The ears contact the sound. All of you are listening to me. The nose contacts the smells. The tongue contacts the taste. And the skin contacts the touch. So contact of the sense organs with the sense objects. O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, son of Kunti. Shita, Ushna. Shita is cold, Ushna is hot. So heat and cold. Sukha, Dukha, Daha. Joy and sorrow. Daha means givers. So when I contact an object with my eyes, ears, nose, skin, tongue, either it will give me heat, or give me cold, or give me joy, or give me sorrow. So world and the objects are bound to give you that. Either one or the other. So how should I bear them? So yes, if I get a big sorrow, how should I bear? If I get a great joy, how should I bear? He says, remember, they are temporary. Agama, they come. Apayina, they will go. Anitya, temporary. So whatever contact you have with any objects, they are temporary, they come and go. And they are temporary. Tan stitikshasva bharata. Tan, these contacts with the sense objects that are giving you joy and sorrow, titikshasva, bear them with fortitude. Titiksha is a noun, but here Vedvyasji is using it as a verb. Titikshasva means bear them. So make it into a verb. So these contacts, O Bharata, O Arjuna, who is the belongs to the Bharata family. So in this verse, one of the things we should note that he has addressed Arjuna with two different terms. One is Kaunteya, son of Kunti, and one is Bharata, belonging to the Bharata family. So both are very noble. See, Kunti was a very noble lady. And if you are the son of a noble lady, you should be noble. You should be wise. She was very wise, very noble. And you belong to a noble family, Bharata, the family of Bharata family. So that's why he calls him Bharata. So the Bharata family also had very noble kings and very noble, you know, people. So he says, you belong to a noble family. You're the child of a noble mother who is very wise. And why are you acting so foolishly? So it's like, you know, he's telling him that you need to be better. You need to do better. And we'll talk more detail about that. So in the 14th verse, there are a few things that we shall talk about. One is joys and sorrows. What determines joy and sorrow? What determines happiness, unhappiness? It is the mind. You say, no, it's the object. It's not the object, it's your mind that determines the situation. Like there's a cigarette. Now there's one person smoking a cigarette. He blows the smoke, you know, multiple rings. He's getting so much joy, and the other person is like, get away, go and smoke outside. Now it's the same object, the cigarette. If joy was in the cigarette, it would give equal joy to both, right? So the joy is not in the cigarette, it's not in the smoke, it is in the state of mind. One loves smoking, other one hates it. Get away from me. Like, you know, there's a store of alcoholic drinks, a liquor store. One who loves to drink will walk by and say, okay, let me see which new wines have come, you know, Chardonnay and this, I don't know all the names, but from California and this and that and all, and or from Santa Rosa, and the other one says, I have nothing to do with it. He doesn't drink. So the same object gives one person joy and another person sorrow. So that's why the joy and sorrow is not in the object. It is in the state of mind. Also, the same object at one time may give me great joy, and then after a while I don't care for it. Like a girl, she's so attached to her doll. You know, she's 3-4 years old. She walks around everywhere. My doll, she doesn't let it go. Even at night, she sleeps with it. Anybody tries to pull it from her. Her brother trying to teasingly pulls the doll. She starts crying, gets mad. But when she turns 16, once she gets a car and then she gets a boyfriend, then where is the doll? Doll is lying somewhere in the corner. The one that she used to love so much and never want to give up, she outgrew it. So then the mother says, come on, take your doll. So what doll? Come on, it's a bother. Just put it aside. Give it to the Salvation Army, or, you know, give it to my, you know, my young cousin. So the same object which she loved so much, when her state of mind changed, it became unimportant. Not that it was giving her any sorrow, but it was no use to her. Also, if the object gives joy, then if I get one of the object, I'll get one time the joy. If I get 5, I should get 5 times the joy. If I get 10, I should get 10 times the joy. So like somebody loves chocolate. So you give him one chocolate. Ah, he's so happy. Give him the Hershey's bar, you know, almond chocolate. Loves it. He eats it all. Then you say, eat a second one. Second one? Okay. You know, he eats it. Ah, that was good. He said, now eat third and fourth and fifth. No. Eat 10. By the time if he eats that many, he'll get sick. So if chocolate had the joy, then 10 chocolates should give him as 10 times the joy of one. So the point is that the mind is determining the joys and sorrows. It is not in the objects. So that's number one. So it is our mind that decides whether a situation is joyful or sorrowful. So we have to work on the mind rather than running away from objects. We run away from objects, run away from situations, run away from people. There is no running away. There is no need. Just work on your mind and all situations are fine. If your mind is fine, even the worst situation can be okay. We had talked a few weeks ago about Krishna's life, how much problems he had, Ramchandraji's life, how many, were they ever perturbed? Never. Their mind was always peaceful. Christ, even when he was being crucified and being beaten and thorns and whips, he was calm. Why? Because he was in touch with the highest. So when your mind is under your control, then Krishna says in the Gita, Yasmin sthitona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate. One who is established in this truth, even the highest sorrow cannot perturb such an individual. Even a mountain of sorrows comes on such an individual, he is able to handle it. So that's one. So make your mind strong. Second is, remember that everything shall pass. There is this story we might have heard. This person went to the guru. Guru, I am so sad. I am so depressed. I have so many problems in my life. You don't know. So guru says, okay, list here. So he lists, I have this problem, this. Guru said, this too shall pass. Don't worry about it. And so happened 2-3 years later, all his problems went away. He got a job and his daughter who was having health problems got well. And, everything was going well. Financially, he was good. His health was good. Everything was good. So he goes to the guru and bows down. Guru, thank you for your blessings. I am doing so well now. Everything is good. My job is good. My health is good. Financially, I'm good. My family is good. My relationships. Everything is good. Guru said, this too shall pass. Nothing is permanent. Don't think that we can just close the door. Don't think that the sorrows are permanent. No. And joys are not also permanent. So do not get too elated when things are going well, and do not get too depressed when things are going badly. I was reading a comment. He says, like this author, he writes a bestseller and everybody's lining up to get his autograph. His book is selling. It's New York Times bestseller, and he walks around and he's in all the newspapers and magazines and TV interviews and all. And the next book he writes, dud. Nobody buys it. It's a total flop. It can happen. An actor, one movie he acts or a play and he's the top. And next movie, nobody goes to watch. It's a failure. So if he gets elated with things are going well, people get elated, pick up the phone and call everybody. You know how things are going? I'm doing so well. Just sit down and chant the mantra and be thankful to God. Yes, things are going. We're not saying that you should be like a stone, not happy, not unhappy. But do not get excessively elated and just go telling the whole world how great I am, because the next moment you could be down. And then if you're down, then don't get depressed and don't go crying to everybody. You know how many problems I have. Yeah, if you have a close friend, go and share with her. Okay, things are not. But don't go around telling the whole world your problems. Nobody wants to hear another person's problem. Suppose somebody asks you, how are you? You say, fine, right? But suppose he says, how are you? You say, you know what? This morning I got up, I had a headache, then I didn't have a good BM, and then my breakfast made me sick, and then I'm going to the job, I don't like my boss. He'll say, why did I ask him? Just say fine and walk along. So nobody wants to hear our problems. Well, if you have a close person, share it, but otherwise, titikshasva, bear it faithfully, bear it cheerfully, without complaining. Titiksha is a very beautiful word. I'll spend some time about it later on. So the first word in this covers three verses, matra. Matra is sense of organs. That means eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. Now, matra, the root of matra in Sanskrit is ma. Ma means to measure. So sense organs are the ones that measure whatever I come in contact with. So like a child, you know, 6 month or 8 or 9 month old child, a child or a 1 year old child who's crawling on the ground, can't yet walk. What is his means of measure? Mouth. He or she has to put everything in the mouth, whether it's coin, whether it's chalk, whether it's stone, whether it's food, whether it's something dirty. His only contact with the world is mouth. So anything he puts in the mouth, and that's how we find you, they come to the ER with coins and batteries and, you know, little toys. And when, you know, I have removed so many from little children when they come to the ER, you know, with coins stuck and batteries and all that. So for a child, the only contact with the world is mouth, and that's how he or she measures everything, that by the taste, by eating it. But as we grow older and we start walking, then our measure is the eyes. I see something good, it makes me happy. I see something not good, it makes me sad. I eat something sweet, it makes me happy. I see eat something bitter, it makes me sad. I hear some good music, makes me happy. And it also depends on the mind. Like a person who loves classical music, he'll hear some beautiful notes by Ravi Shankar or by Mozart. Ah, this is so beautiful. And then you blast him with heavy metal rock music. He said, get it away from me. And another guy who loves heavy metal rock, he's in ecstasy, and somebody plays Ravi Shankar sitar. What are you doing? Take it away. I want this music. So the ears may hear something pleasant or something unpleasant. I may taste something sweet. So the contacts with the sense objects are bound to give you joy and sorrow. There is no doubt. The point is not to get elated when things are good, not to get depressed when things are bad. Now, talking about heat and cold, you know, we had very hot weather this whole summer, more than 100 degrees. Record global warming, and people are complaining, oh, it's so hot. It's nothing to complain. Just put on the air conditioning. If you can't put on the air conditioning and you have to work outside, pick your time. Otherwise, say it's meant to be. Okay, it's hot, it's going to be hot. By complaining, am I going to make the temperature come down if it's 110? No, all I'm going to do is make myself miserable. If I live in Bakersfield, it is going to be 110. That is guaranteed. It's as guaranteed as death and taxes. So what is to complain? Or if it becomes cold, it is really cold and really freezing. No point of complaining. It's cold. Put on 2-3 layers and go about your business. Do what you have to do. You cannot say, oh, it's too cold, so I'm not going to work, or it's too hot, I'm not going to. Whatever I'm supposed to do, do it, but without complaining, without getting upset. And realize that if it is summer, then winter will come. When it's winter, summer will come. Nothing is permanent in this world. And the world is always changing, and the world will always give me a variety of experiences. That's why God made 4 seasons. If suppose all the whole year round it was spring, 78 degrees, it'll get boring. It's good. You have heat and then you have cold, and then you appreciate spring weather. Ah, it's 75 degrees. The flowers are out. So life is meant for changes. So nobody's life is permanent. Nobody's life is constant. And life, there will be problems and joys and sorrow. Matra sparshastu kaunteya sheet oshna sukha dukha daha. They give us joy and sorrow, heat and cold. Agama apaino. They come and gold. Come and go. Tan titikshasva Bharata. Now the word Bharata, we talked in the beginning, it means belonging to the Bharata family. But another commentary I was reading, they gave a very beautiful meaning of the word Bharata. So Bharata comes from the word Bha. Bha means knowledge, wisdom, light. Comes from light. So understanding. So bhayam gataha. So one who is involved in the learning of knowledge should be called Bharata. So when he says Arjuna, you are Bharata, means you should be engaged in the acquisition of knowledge. And for us, like today, now we are all here together trying to learn. So we are in Bharata, even though Bharata is the name for India. So if you are in India, you can say, I am in Bharata. No, even wherever you may be in the world, if you are in the process of learning, acquiring knowledge, you are in Bharata. And at the other time, you could be in India and just wasting your time, not learning anything. Then even though you are in India, you cannot say, I am in Bharata. So Bharata means one who is engaged in knowledge. Doesn't only have to be spiritual knowledge or the Bhagavad Gita, but if I'm learning physics or chemistry, or if I'm reading a journal, you know, I'm trying to keep up with my knowledge, or if I'm reading some good books of how to live, you know, Dale Carnegie and the Seven Laws of Success, and how live in the now, all these books, if I'm reading and learning, then also I am in Bharata. So Bharata is the one who is engaged in knowledge. Now the word titiksha, that's a very, very beautiful word, very powerful word. That's one of the shat sampatti, or the six wealths that we must have as a spiritual seeker. Shama dama uparati titiksha shraddha samadhan. Shama means control of the mind. Dama is control of the senses. Uparati is withdrawal. Titiksha is forbearance. Shraddha is faith. And samadhan is equanimity. So titiksha is very important for this particular verse. Now what is titiksha? So Shankaracharya ji in his Vivek Chudamani, it's again a very, very beautiful text we do have in the office. If you don't have it, try to get it. It's a good one to read because it starts from the simple to the highest. So in Vivek Chudamani, he says, Sahanam sarva dukhanam apratikarakam chinta vilaparahitam tat titiksha nigadhyate. So what is titiksha? Sahanam sarva dukhanam. Bear all sorrows. Yeah, I bear sorrows, but it's more than that. It's not only bearing, apratikara purvakam, without any idea of revenge, any idea that this is bad is happening to me, this guy is doing it to me, now I'm okay, I cannot say anything, but the time will come, tab dekh lunga, then I will take full revenge. No, the idea is that it's okay if the person is doing bad, if I can avoid it, otherwise don't have even a hatred or anger. So without even having hatred or anger or discomfort, cheerfully bear it. And the second part is chinta vilaparahitam. Some people don't have hatred, but they constantly complain. You know what? My life, so many problems. Constantly crying, constantly complaining, you know, heat and cold and success and failure and joy and sorrow. Never happy. So he says, chinta vilaparahitam, don't cry and don't worry. Chinta means, oh, what will happen? Now things are okay, but I don't know. So what titiksha is not only to bear the sorrows of life, but bear them without anger, without revenge, without complaining, without worrying, but accept things as they come and know that this. There are two ways to bear it. One is the law of karma. You know, I must have done something wrong. I have to have done something wrong because of which this sorrow is coming to me. Or the Lord, the divine doctor, the divine master wants me to improve. All of us are here. I've talked about it. We're all in this hospital of this earth. Why? Because we are all sick. We all have some defect, some problem, some vasana, some negative things. So the Lord in his infinite mercy giving us these situations for us to improve. If I'm a very impatient person and I get angry very quickly, he will put you in a situation where constantly your patience will be tested. And that's how you improve. Just as a knife, if you rub it on a soft flower, won't get sharpened. To sharpen a knife, you have to rub it against a sharp stone, a rough stone. Then only the knife gets sharp and brilliant. Gold, if you want to take it out, it comes in a mud, horrible, ugly form. You put it through the heat and all the processing, beautiful metal comes out going through the heat. So take these opportunities as an opportunity to grow. All these situations that have come in my life, they are an opportunity for me to grow, for me to improve. Oh Lord, I know you have brought these. Either they have come because of my karmas, or they have come because I have an opportunity to improve. And so look at all these stressful situations as how it will make me a better individual. And that's how you look at life. Do not look at life as problems. Look at life as a challenge and look at these opportunities to overcome them. And how do I overcome them? By my mental peace, equanimity, and by dealing with. We're not saying that you become a doormat and let everybody walk over you. If it's heat, I don't do anything. If it's cold, no. Do whatever you can to fix the situation. If you can't, bear it cheerfully. This about titiksha reminds me of a story. I want you to tell me whether this gentleman had titiksha or not. So there was these three motorcyclists, tough, you know, muscular guys. And they walked in. They drove their motorcycles, three of them, parked outside a bar. And they walked in. And there was this, you know, older gentleman with a hat and all sitting at the bar. And he had just ordered French fries and a beer. So the big plate of fries and a beer the bartender put. And so these three guys said, let's have fun with this older guy. Let's have fun at his expense. So one goes and takes a handful of French fries and puts in his mouth. The second guy spits in his beer. And the third guy turns the plate upside down and the French fries are on the counter and the plate is on it. So they start laughing. This man doesn't say anything. He just quietly walks out. So the three guys, one of them tells the bartender, he's not much of a man, is he? He said, no, he's not. And he's not much of a driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles with his truck. So did he have titiksha? Well, not really, because ideally, if he had true titiksha, he would not even have the idea of revenge. He would either go to another table and order another French fries and beer or go to another restaurant, but without having the anger. But the point is that in life, situations will come where you're not expecting. He was not expecting anything. He was nicely there eating his fries and beer. And he, you know, so situations will come. It is how we deal with it, how we handle it. And there's another beautiful story which talks about problems, how problems come to everybody. So I know today's a day I have lots of stories, so I enjoy telling stories, and so it will be fun. So this man was having problems in his job, you know, with his co-workers, and he had too much work and he was constantly stressed out. He said, I need to go complain to my boss. Now he goes to the head of HR, you know, and she was in her office. So he says, can I come and meet you? So he says, yes. She says, yeah, come on in. And so he talks to her. He comes out after about an hour. And so his co-workers, how did it go? How did it go? Did you tell her all your problems? He says, yeah. So what did she say? He said, she told me a story. So now in the story, there's another story. So he says, what story did she tell you? So this was in India. So he says, well, she told me that in this temple, there was this mridangam. Mridangam is this small drum that people play with the fingers. I think those of you have seen in the temples, they play this little drum with the fingers and, you know, they hit very hard and then the drum makes the sound. So this mridangam was very unhappy. He said, every day people come and hit me with their fingers. My life is horrible. It's not fun. You know, every day I get beaten with fingers. So he goes and complains to the big drum. There was a huge drum in the temple. He goes and complains to the drum. He says, you know what? My life is terrible. He says, what? He says, every day I get beaten with these fingers. Drum says, what are you complaining? I get hammered with big sticks. No, dum, dum. You know, you've seen those big drums. He says, my life is much worse than you. What are you complaining about? You just get fingers. So that mridangam quietly leaves. So they still say, but why? What was the connection with this story? You went to the HR. Why is she telling you a story? He says, because when I went and I told her I have some problems with my co-workers and overwork, she said, you want to listen to my problems? She says, first of all, I have 60 of you working under me. I have to supervise each one. Somebody calls in sick, somebody taking too much overtime, somebody doesn't want to work, somebody doesn't get, and they're constantly complaining to me. And suddenly people call in sick, I have to arrange for replacement. And then somebody, there's too much overtime, the bosses are on me and they're telling me why there is so much overtime, why the employees are not working. And then they are threatening to fire me. And then my assistant, he's so mean, he's trying to get my job. He's going behind my back, complaining to the bosses. So I have pressure from you guys. I have pressure. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He goes back. He said, I'm sorry I complained. Now, your problems are 10 times bigger than mine. So that's the thing. You know, everybody has problems. Kabhi kisi ko mukammal jahan nahi milta. I've said that so many times in the Umrao Jaan. She says it beautifully. Nobody's life is perfect. So tantitikshasva bharata. O Arjuna, bear it without complaint and realize that nothing is permanent. This too shall pass. And if they come, take care of it and then go on with your life. Don't get depressed and sit down like Arjuna, okay, mere se nahi hoga, I can't do it. Life's problems are there as a challenge. You know, if you're a man or a woman or whoever, you are a human being, life will give you challenges. Face them bravely, face them without complaint, face them without crying, and realize that. And have faith in God. Never lose your faith in God. See, for us, what we do when things are going very well, thank you, God. And the moment problems come, God, what is this? I prayed to you. I did so much. And you're giving me this problem, that. Nothing. God is not giving you anything. All he is giving you is the result of your own karmas. So do not complain. Cheerfully go through life. Life, enjoy life. Life is meant to be enjoyed. And watch life like a play. I've told that so many times. This life is a movie. This life is a play. Enjoy it. And actually, if you watch the people around you, you don't need to watch Kum Kum Bhagya. You don't need to watch As the World Turns. Just see the people. And everybody is a character. I'm telling you, look around you, how people deal with world, how people deal with situations. And you have enough entertainment. You never need to turn on a TV. Just look at people around you and look at life as a joke. Don't take life too seriously, because if you take life too seriously, you will be miserable. Learn to laugh, learn to enjoy, read jokes, tell jokes to others, and be happy. So that's what they said. Now, what was that? Don't worry, be happy. Make that your motto, and that is the essence of this beautiful verse. How one should deal with joys and sorrows. And the next verse, he will talk about what is the benefit. What happens if I bear cheerfully? So we'll talk about that next. Any questions or comments?
You couldn't have said anything better about God giving us the opportunities when we have tragedies or problems in life. Instead of complaining, I think it's so much better to just say, this is a test for me, to pass it or not pass it.
Yes.
Depends on me.
Yes, thank you. That's a very good point, that God gives us tests whether to pass it or not pass it, and do not complain. Look at problems as an opportunity to improve, to grow.